It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow, the Allegheny County Council is scheduled to vote on an ordinance to put a 2-year moratorium on further fracking in or under county parks. The council in May approved a lease allowing Fort Worth-based Range Resources to drill under Deer Lakes Park in West Deer and Fraser. The ordinance was introduced by the volunteer organization Protect Our Parks, who, despite daunting odds, are making the push, even though County Executive Rich Fitzgerald has indicated he would veto the ordinance if council passes it. Joining us here in Studio A are Joni Rabinowitz and John Detweiler, volunteers with the organization. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We contacted the office of Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, which declined our invitation, but issued this statement, quote, "The effort being led by Protect Our Parks is similar to legislation that was voted on previously and was defeated by council. If such legislation were to pass, the executive would veto it. He believes that blanket legislation sends a bad message to the industry and is a bad precedent. Each opportunity should be considered on a case-by-case basis. In the case of the Deer Lakes Park proposal, we were able to enter a lease that extends environmental protections to those communities that would not have been possible otherwise. That being said, the executive has indicated that he has no intent of considering other drilling opportunities in the county at this time. He wants to see how the two current drilling operations will play out before moving forward with anything else." And that statement from the Office of Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. So, Joni Rabinowitz and John Detweiler with Protect Our Parks. What is Protect Our Parks' major concern here?
Well, our major concern is the parks. And of what you just read from the county executive, the one thing we would agree on is that we should be waiting and seeing what happens at Deer Lakes Park before we go ahead and do anything with the rest of the parks. The other things that you read, we could argue probably for more time than you have. Our concern is the parks. We think that the parks are valuable. We think that the parks are intended for recreation and for nature and that they're not just another way of making money. We had this discussion about Deer Lakes Park, and as you said, the council went ahead and voted to lease that park. But it was a war of words, and nobody really knew. Now that we've got a chance to find out what actually happens, we think we should wait and see what happens and then make a decision after we've learned from the first time.
Joni, anything you wanted to add to that?
No, that's fine. I just wanted to, you know, just kind of add about the parks and the value that they are to the people of Allegheny County. I don't think a lot of people in the city really realize that we have 9 county parks that are outside the city, and they're all owned by the county by them and by the county taxpayers. And they were established in order to give working folks and people who couldn't take long trips an opportunity to have a rural experience and to be able to have recreation. So we feel really strongly about keeping industrial operations out of the parks.
Have you reached out to County Executive Fitzgerald? He's indicating that he would veto the ordinance, but he's saying that he has said he has no plans to drill under those remaining parks. And he says, we'll just see what happens at Deer Lakes Park and the airport before we do anything else.
Well, as I said before, we also believe in waiting and seeing.
What's the issue here?
Well, first of all, for him to say that he has no plans is the same thing that we heard before Deer Lakes Park was fracked. We had a meeting about September a year and a half ago at that point, the process had already started, but we were told that the county had had no plans until Range Resources approached the county. Then there was a meeting with Range Resources in which they said the opposite, that they had no plans to make a proposal until the county said that they were open to such a proposal. So I think it's a little bit of double talk to say, well, I don't have any plans, so therefore let's not talk about what would happen if I did have plans. By the time anybody admits to having plans, it's taken on a life of its own. So what we're saying is let's just agree that we will all wait and see.
And we think it's good to put it into writing, to put it into an ordinance, which we have proposed, which we have written, and we've introduced through a very unusual but important process through the government, through the county council.
So you want to hold the county executive to the the idea that we have no plans.
Right.
You want to make sure there are no plans.
Right. And the county council, too, because the county council, as you know, is the decision maker in the county. They're the ones that have to decide on these kinds of issues. And we want the county council to stand up and say, and several county council members have said the same thing. We agreed to wait and see. We don't see any problem with that. So from our perspective, we don't see any problem with putting it into writing.
Have you reached out to the county executive, to Mr. Fitzgerald? Have there been any discussions with him about this?
Not lately.
Not face to face, no.
Is there a point at which that someone will initiate that? It doesn't sound like he's going to do that anytime soon. Would you try to do that with him?
No, I think we understand each other.
He's saying he's going to veto this, though. Even if county council votes for what you're proposing tomorrow night, he's saying that I'm not going to let this go through.
If he wants to veto it, then he's going to go ahead and do it, and we will proceed accordingly. But we don't know anything about what's going to happen. You know, we don't have any golden balls or ways to know in advance what's going to happen tomorrow night.
But he's saying even if it does pass, that he'll veto it, and there could be enough of a majority. What is it? 10 out of the 15. County council members, if they vote in favor of this ordinance, then that would override a veto?
Right. But the thing is about this ordinance and this campaign that we have here, this has never happened before in Allegheny County. The Citizens Initiative, which is a part of the county charter and has never been in the 17 years since the county charter has been written, this procedure has never been utilized. And we went out and we had 58 volunteers that went out and got signatures from 1,900 registered voters in Allegheny County and brought those signatures before introduced those to council along with this ordinance. And they were in 2/3 of the county municipalities. And I think it would be really hard for him to veto a piece of legislation that was signed by that many people. So we're kind of looking for that. We're looking for the council to accept that as an important ordinance put forth by large numbers of people.
If you have a comment or a question for either of our guests, Joni Rabinowitz and or John Detweiler, volunteers with the organization Protect Our Parks, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh, #EPLive. What do you think about a moratorium on fracking in Allegheny County parks? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And do you feel that county council and particularly the county executive have taken seriously citizens' input into this matter?
Yes, we do because, well, number one, they need to, and I feel like they
– But you're saying they need to, but have they?
Well, we don't know yet.
But up to this point, I mean, there are clearly people like yourselves out there who have concerns, and we've heard – opposition to the idea of fracking at the airport and in parks. So when people have voiced their concerns, what has been the reaction from the folks who represent the county government?
It's been varied. We've been called names by Mr. Fitzgerald. We had a meeting with the Government Reform Committee last week, which is the committee to which this legislation was referred. And that was a very cordial meeting, and good things were said by the committee members. Now, as it turned out, they sent the measure back to council without a recommendation either for or against. So we'll have to find out tomorrow night how the council members feel about passing the legislation. But as far as the process is concerned, we were treated with the utmost respect at last week's committee meeting. And I think that's a trend that's been happening since this started. At the very beginning, I think it was easy to dismiss the citizens. But as time has gone by and the opposition has grown and more facts have come in, I think we've been treated with a lot more interest and a lot more respect, particularly by members of council.
I'm not sure that I would look at Wolf's moratorium on some of the parklands, Governor Wolf that he just did this last week.
And we're talking about state parks.
Yeah, but just the idea that an elected official is going to put a moratorium on fracking in state land and government lands, that has got to be something that the council members would pay attention to, I would think.
But at the end of the day, the county can go whatever way they want.
Yes, of
right?
course, of course. But we're just thinking about what's going on out there in the community to convince council members.
So you're saying that this, mm-hmm. that what the governor is doing is that this that if but that the county could look at this and take
yes.
and take his lead. 412-246-2002, the number to join the conversation. Let's go to Barbara in Emsworth, who'd like to be on with Joni Rabinowitz and John Detweiler. Barbara, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. It's confusing because you are obviously ahead of what's on the radio right now, so I'll try and tune
that's,
that out.
That's why you always have to turn that down.
Right, right. This date today for me is very significant. I buried my dad in two years ago, and he was dealing with dementia toward the end of his life. And one of the ironies, if you've ever lived with anybody with a dementia, they don't remember things. Every day he would read the paper. Every day he would show me the word fracking, and he was astounded that you could put that in the paper. And I would have to explain over and over again what that word meant. It was a daily, daily activity. So my passion about the environment and fracking is extremely strong, as I tried to explain to this man, my father, who is now deceased. What we're trying to do is to keep the environment free and pristine. And I'm hoping that County Council can have the strength of their convictions tomorrow night and stand up and actually tell them what they feel and not worry about the repercussions. I have not had good experience with Rich Fitzgerald in the past. I've been part of another group called Allegheny County Clean Air Now, and that Allegheny County Health Board worked diligently to pass some rules and regulations, and just as we're fearful this might happen again, Rich Fitzgerald vetoed it down. So Heather Heidelbaum was one of the few on it, Connie, that had the strength of her convictions, did research, did not want to vote blindly for this. So I'm hoping tomorrow night that her and others will have the strength of their convictions.
Okay.
And I thank you for taking time to listen.
Okay, Barbara. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in, 412-246-2002. Before we go to break, what about what Barbara is saying about wanting the county council members to do their due diligence and to research this issue? And to her point, do you feel that the council members have done that? And if not, what are you doing to try to educate them?
Some of them have done that. Some of them have been very assiduous as far as studying the issues. And the council member that she mentioned, Heather Heidelbaugh, she has been one of the ones that has really looked into the issue really deeply. Some of them have done it more than others, but I don't think that any of them have been immune to the arguments and the presentations that have come before them over the last period of time.
And Barbara speaks for a lot of people when she says that she's opposed to fracking in particularly in county parks because she wants a pristine environment. But what the proponents of this of hydraulic fracturing are saying is that it is clean, that it is safe. You hear that argument all the time. So, you know, when they tell, well, that's something they believe.
You do hear it, but it's not true.
But they say it is.
It's not proving true other places. But I think the big difference right now, and I wanted to get back to what the ordinance that we're proposing and the council's voting on actually says, it's not only a moratorium. It's setting criteria by which we would evaluate what happens at Deer Lakes Park. And among the other things are, what is the environmental impact at Deer Lakes Park? What is the economic impact? So the difference between this and just a moratorium is we're not just going to wait for the time to go by. We're not going to continue the war of words as to is it safe, isn't it safe. We're going to get some actual experience because now we've made a decision to frack at one of the parks and we want to see what actually happens there. So rather than guessing, rather than having arguments about what we believe or what somebody else believes, let's just see what happens.
What do you suspect that it will be? What do you think that the environmental impact of this will yield?
There's air monitoring being set up. There's water monitoring being set up. We want to make sure that both of those things are monitored closely.
Of course, but what do you think? What do you think you're going to find that will be found from that monitoring?
I suspect that what we will find is that there is air pollution, that there are volatile organic compounds in the air, that there is benzene in the air, and that whether or not water is affected is a matter of chance. So we'll just have to see whether the percentages go with us or against us as far as spills, as far as accidents, as far as leaking casings and the kinds of things that cause water pollution. I think the air pollution is almost certain to be found.
We are talking about the issue of fracking in county parks with Joni Rabinowitz and John Detweiler with Protect Our Parks. They are pushing an ordinance which will be voted on tomorrow by county council to put a 2-year moratorium on further fracking in or under county parks. The council in May approved a lease allowing Fort Worth-based Range Resources to drill under Deer Lakes Park in West Deer and Fraser. And the ordinance was introduced by the volunteer organization Protect Our Parks. We're joined by two representatives from that organization, Joni Rabinowitz and John Detweiler. And we're taking your calls for them at 412-246-2002. We did contact the Office of Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Our invitation for his participation in this program was declined. They did issue a statement, which we read earlier and will reiterate later. But right now, let's go to the phones. 412-246-2002, the number to call. We have Alex. We'll start with him. Alex from Pittsburgh. Hello. How are you?
Hi. Good afternoon.
And to you, sir. Go ahead with your comment or question.
First of all, I wanted to say that I support and I'm very thankful for the two members of Protect Your Parks that made their way to the NPR station today. I think they're doing a great job. I think that they're doing this out of the kindness of their heart and no other reason, so I appreciate that. And what I mainly would like to talk about is the recent decision by the whole state of New York that said that fracking was not safe for their entire state. And I think it's a little bit crazy that we're going to allow it to happen at a county park when the whole state of New York is not going to allow it.
Well, it's certainly you're not the first person to say that, Alex, but we appreciate your comments. And Joni, it sounds like you want to respond to Alex.
Well, I was just going to say that there's a lot of places. There's a lot of countries. I think I want to say Scotland just did it the other day. The whole country of Scotland just banned fracking. So there's countries and there's states, you know, municipalities and so forth that have banned it. I don't think it would be that useful for us to discuss now what the actual danger health implications are and the dangers, because that could be a whole nother show and we could go into what kinds of problems have arisen.
Well, there are probably people out there thinking, you know, what proof is there that fracking isn't safe? And I realize that there's a lot you could go into, but what are the basic things people need to know about that you want them to know about?
There are health effects that have been seen both anecdotally and also in scientific studies. We have a book of the stories of the harmed, which has the personal stories of people and their families that have been affected. Their farm animals have been affected. The value of their property has been affected. So you see this at an individual level. At a scientific level, there are studies on birth defects. There are studies on the weight of infants. There are studies on
endocrine disruptions.
The studies are piling up. You know, the scientists are very careful before they draw conclusions, and those studies are some of them are still coming in. But day after day after day, studies are being published showing that there are health impacts of fracking. There are also technical studies showing the rate of leaks, the rate of spills. So there are specific reasons why fracking causes dangers, and we can add those up as well. So we supplied a stack of evidence probably a foot high to the county council a year ago when they were discussing Deer Lakes Park. Some of them read it. Some of them studied it. Some of them had questions about it. I'm sure some of them just pushed it aside.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Tracy in Pittsburgh. Tracy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I have two questions. I already had my radio off, so I'm not sure. I hope I'm not repeating the previous caller. But I was curious as to why the fracking couldn't just occur at the airport instead of ruining the recreational opportunities for the Deer Lakes community. because I know you mentioned you would wait and see what's going to happen, but then the lakes are already ruined. And the people who live there and appreciate the opportunity to visit the park, it's like that opportunity is gone. And then my second question is, do you have a legal recourse if Rich Fitzgerald vetoes the ordinance? Because clearly he wouldn't be listening to the constituency that elected him. So I was just wondering, because of the dangerous impact of fracking and how it could ruin, the Deer Lake Park,
okay.
Just was curious if you'd take it a step further.
That's okay, fine. Thanks. All right, Tracy. First question. Tracy, can stay on the line. Your first question was about why can't it just be limited to the airport? Correct? I guess we don't have Tracy on the line anymore. Her first question was about – she's wondering why you have to go into parks. Why can't we just do it at the airport? But my understanding is you're opposed to that as well.
Yeah, we don't feel we should go anywhere. And do it. And we fought the one at the airport, too. And actually, interestingly enough, there was a letter to the editor from somebody in Findlay Township just a couple of days ago saying that she has had incredible noise constantly going on. Shaking of the land, and a man's house was cracked as a result of the fracking out by the airport. So it's wherever it's happening, there's problems happening. And we, of course, like the ones John mentioned and like the ones that I just mentioned about out of the airport, we're not in favor of fracking anywhere.
Now, she also had a question about the procedure. And again, for somebody who might just be tuning in, this proposal goes before county council tomorrow. They can vote to approve it, and the county executive, Rich Fitzgerald, could veto it, which he has promised to do. So what is the recourse? How does it work? How many county council votes would override the veto if there is one? And she's just asking in a general sense about what the recourse would be if the county executive tries to prevent any kind of moratorium in state parks. County parks, excuse me.
There are two different directions to that. The one is political, and in the short term it would take 10 votes on county council to overturn a veto. Of course, this is an election year, and the county executive is up for re-election this year. So ultimately, the political recourse is to change the people in county government. On the legal side, the state Supreme Court came out with a decision a year ago saying that local governments are required to conduct due diligence before they do something like fracking that would affect the environment. There have been lawsuits around the state to enforce that provision on county or local governments, municipal governments. That could happen in Allegheny County as well. But, of course, it's expensive. It's time-consuming. It would probably take years before there was a settlement of any kind or a judgment of any kind. And the industry would try, as they have tried in other places, to become a party to the suit, and they can blacken the skies with lawyers. So a legal recourse is something that we have considered. We will probably continue to consider as circumstances change, but it's extremely expensive, extremely time-consuming.
If we could get back for a moment to tomorrow night, we do want to – at 5 o'clock is when the county council meeting is on Tuesday, and we're very eager – that people attend that meeting, because I don't know if people have ever been to county council meetings, but they're interesting to observe. And so we want to encourage people to come down, and we want to encourage people to sign up to make 3-minute comments, which they can do. They need to do it by 5 o'clock today. And
there are complete instructions on the website at www.protectparks.org as to how to find the meeting, how to sign up and get your 3 minutes to speak.
Yeah.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Jake in Oakland. Jake, welcome. How are you? Hello, Jake.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you bet.
And I also just want to say thanks to the representatives. I think you guys are doing a great thing here. I wanted to talk about the safety of fracking a little bit. I think I don't want to preach to the choir more than some people already have. But fracking in theory is safe, except for the fact that there could be spills, leaks, and other problems. And I believe one piece of ammunition would be that recently there was a case in Pennsylvania of a family that sued a company that was fracking on their land for environmental damage. And as part of the settlement, they received a gag order on them and their, I think, 6 and 8 year old child or something. So I'd be interested to find out what the details of that suit were. Obviously, we'll never know. But more importantly, I'd like to raise the issue that any potential income received from this is going to be very short term. I'm not sure how long the fracking contract will last here, maybe 5 or 10 years, but I think a more sustainable financial solution for the county would be better. So instead of just fighting this, but proposing an alternative, maybe there could be some discussion about that.
I wanted to talk about the gag order that you mentioned because that happened to be the very first one around here that we became familiar with. But the fact of the matter is that all over the country, people are reaching agreements with fracking companies and are receiving gag orders. It's very common. And not only that, but there's a gag order for doctors that prevents doctors from revealing certain kinds of characteristics of that their patients have when they're affected by fracking chemicals. So I think that we haven't even talked at all about the power that the companies exert when they want to have their way.
As far as financial solutions for the county, we did a calculation that showed that as far as Deer Lakes Park is concerned, the total income from fracking Deer Lakes Park at the Marcellus Shale would come to about $50 per household in the county if you tried to use all of that money for real estate tax relief. So by sacrificing potentially one of our parks, each of us as a household would stand to receive about $50 by the time that the gas was played out. On the other hand, the lease itself is literally forever. Once the park has been leased, there is no way to get that lease undone or to get that park back. So on the one hand, you've got a very short financial return, and on the other hand, you've got essentially an indefinite loss of an asset.
David on Twitter asks, how do recent lower OPEC costs affect the value of fracking in general and on county land in particular?
That's hard to say. The activity in gas drilling has gone down because the price of gas is so low and is staying low. It's intertwined with the price of oil that OPEC has a big influence on. But it's a little bit hard to say. Again, our point with the county is let's see what happens and let's see not only whether any money comes in at Deer Lakes Park, but let's be serious about how much money we really think it should be worth to have a park fracked. None of those discussions happened in the course of the Deer Lakes Park vote. We never said this number is big enough, but this number is not big enough. So in the process of evaluating Deer Lakes Park, we really hope that there will be some sanity in the process going forward as to, well, how much money is a park worth?
Let's go to Ed in Mount Lebanon with a general comment. Ed, welcome.
Hi. My wife and I moved into Allegheny County in 2013 from Westmoreland County to Mount Lebanon where we live. And one of the reasons we moved was to get away from fracking. We've actually seen a couple of the wells out there and the pads and the flaring and experienced, not firsthand, but except to observe. And so I'm kind of concerned about the statement that you read earlier in your broadcast, Mr. Guggenheim, about from the county executive. It seems to me he sounds more like a politician who is thinks of himself as more important than the citizens who have proposed this ordinance. Sounds more like he is threatening somebody with his veto, more like a bully. And that makes me worried and concerned about what that means for our democracy. And maybe you could have some of your guests or you yourself respond to, just what does that say about the fact that money is more important than the health and safety of our citizens and the fact that our ancestors proposed these parks for the working class people? And instead it's moved on.
Well, I wish the county executive were here to defend his position and that we had something other than simply the issuance of a statement. Clearly, he is someone who has supported fracking in parts of the county from the get-go. And And he might wish that he still had the letters of resignation that he once requested from all of the members of council and then since tore up. But clearly he did that because he wanted to intimidate the members of the county council. To Edward's point, what about what he's saying?
Well, I think we're seeing a resurgence of democracy, particularly around this issue. And you know, I appreciate the fact that folks have called in and supported us verbally on the air. And I would suggest that another way to do that is to come to the county council meeting tomorrow night and be part of the democratic process and show up. Sign up today to speak. The instructions are on our website. So we appreciate that this is part of the democratic process, and we're glad to be part of it.
Let's go to Dave in Ross Township. Dave, you're on Essential Pittsburgh. Go ahead.
Yes. Hey, the fracking tubes will fail. Scientific American had a cover article a year ago pointing out the question that they will fail. The question is when. Will it be 5 to 10 years? Some will be maybe 5 to 10 years. Others might be 30 to 50 years. With our history in Pennsylvania of 80 years of millions and billions of taxpayer money cleaning up the dead streams, the strip mine deserts, the stinking bony piles, that I ask that you consider having them set up a trust fund, a pipe failure trust fund, so that some might fail at 5 years, some might last 60 years, but set up a fund to deal with it. The Scientific American article also had an interesting point of the variables, the more that you mines you bring in, that Pennsylvania, since we started this whole deal, they did not calculate. They said, oh, don't worry, there's 5 miles between the water table and the fracking activity, that they did not take into account the God knows how many thousands of wells coming from the surface down in Pennsylvania, which you would have to subtract when, if you had an old 80-year-old gas well that went down a mile and a half. You'd have to subtract that from your water table calculations. Anyhow, I ask, could you ask them to set up a trust fund? Because they will fail. It's like sticking, you got super heat concentrated sulfuric acid with halogens, super reactive halogens and radioactive. Got the radioactive heebie-jeebies. It's like sticking an Easter chocolate Easter bunny into boiling hot water and pretending they're not going to fail. They will fail.
Okay, Dave. Appreciate your making those points. As far as setting up some sort of a trust fund, if the county representatives are saying that fracking is safe and we don't have anything to worry about, then what are the chances that they would set up a trust fund? Is that something that you think is even worth pursuing?
I think before you set up a trust fund, you'd have to know how much money to put in it. And the fact is there is no price on repairing a bad gas well. If the casings go bad a mile down, what's it going to cost? Nobody knows how to even do that. So to put a price on it and say, well, if you put this much money in escrow, then you're covered for the possible damage to a well casing failing, we just don't know what that number would be.
What was interesting that the caller brought up that I thought we haven't dealt with yet is the whole geological, what's going on geologically down there and what's happening, what types of things are happening down there in the earth that we don't even know about.
Do you feel that the county officials are aware of these particular concerns? And do you feel that you have done enough to put some of these facts in front of them?
Oh, we've been doing that.
You have?
As John mentioned, we've been presenting information to the county council members ever for the last 2 years at all the council meetings, bringing information forth to them. And I think that we did change some people's minds over the last period, and hopefully we will have changed enough people's minds now so that we'll be able to get this wait-and-see ordinance that we're trying to get passed tonight.
Let's go to Ed in Pittsburgh. Ed, you're on the show. How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. I followed the process and the leasing of the land, and I think we should hear from the other side of this, and that I'm pro, and I'm glad, and I would lease all of the county parks and generate the income and jobs that result from this. There's been almost what I've read online, almost 8,000 unconventional well drilled in Pennsylvania, all without incident. They try to bring up false studies or gray areas or fuzzy science from like-minded individuals, whereas the EPA and the DEP are on record for saying we've been fracking for 65 years. There's 1.1 million wells that have been fracked without one incident of water damage.
That's a good. Hang on, Ed. Hang on. That's a good point. Let me present that to Joni and John. Has in fact drilling gone on without incident?
No, not at all. There are many incidents. There have been studies coming out from the DEP and from data that the DEP has and has not released of many incidents, and that this is commonplace. The statement that there have been no incidents is just absolutely false. The statement that we've been doing it for 60 years is not absolutely false, but it's certainly misleading because fracking as a process has existed for 60 years, but nothing like what's being done in the gas fields today. So, again, this is a war of words. We are not trying to continue a war of words. We're trying to say, let's see what happens before we go on. The jobs thing is another whole argument.
Well, and Ed, I don't know how long you've been listening, but we did invite
– A while.
Okay. Well, we did invite – did you hear me say that we did invite the county executive, Rich Fitzgerald, to participate in this program? We were given
No, I was probably trying to dial in. It took me a while to get through.
Okay. He was invited to participate. He did issue a statement, which I will read again before we wrap up.
I read the statement or heard the statement at the beginning of the intro.
Okay. Well,
I applaud Mr. Fitzgerald and the council for not being backed down by 1,900 people when I can get, 19,000, 190,000 pro signatures for this that want to proceed. And while I respect everybody's view, it's like saying, well, vehicles out of Michigan kill people and cause pollution. We need to stop. We need to make sure that they're safe. And let's not drive until we can have no incidents whatsoever associated with vehicles. Anytime in any industry one minor thing happens, you try to focus on that one versus millions of things that are pro. There is nothing on the surface of that park. Everything is subsurface. Nothing is going to be damaged, as is proven. There's other parks in Washington have been developed extensively. In fact, they just ran out a second lease on a Washington County park because it has been so positive. So I say let the 1,900 people have their belief, but let the 1.9 million people rule the day.
All right, Ed.
The needs of the many need to override the needs of the few.
Well,
thanks. I got to go.
Thank you. So, is it fair to compare the dangers that you cite from fracking with auto emissions?
No. I wanted to point out that there are other alternatives. And when we talk about should we stop this and should we stop that, the truth of the matter is that there's very, very advanced cases going on all over the world for solar and wind power projects. And that's really – when they talk about gas being a bridge fuel, it isn't really a bridge fuel. What we need to do is stop doing that.
Sure. And we've heard that. Before we wrap up, what about his argument, which is the argument that the county executive puts forth, that this will bring jobs and revenue to the county?
Well, we discussed revenue already. I think the $50 figure is not something that we ought to turn our heads and give up a park just for $50.
And on that note, I want to say that we need to wrap this up. I'm sorry we didn't get to all of the callers who wanted to participate. And we're also sorry that we weren't able to get Rich Fitzgerald here. We invited him and his office, the office of the Allegheny County Executive, Rich Fitzgerald, declined our invitation. They did issue this statement. I'll read it again. The effort being led by Protect Our Parks is similar to legislation that was voted on previously and was defeated by council. If such legislation were to pass, the executive would veto it. He believes that blanket legislation sends a bad message to the industry and is a bad precedent. Each opportunity should be considered on a case-by-case basis. And in the case of the Deer Lakes Park proposal, we were able to enter a lease that extends environmental protections to those communities that would not have been possible otherwise. And the executive again has indicated that he has no intent of considering other drilling opportunities in the county at this time. He wants to see how the two current drilling operations will play out before moving forward with anything else. There will be a vote tomorrow night in County Council to consider a moratorium, a two-year moratorium on further fracking in county parks. And our guests who are opposed to that have articulated their argument on today's show, Joni Rabinowitz and John Detweiler, who are with the organization Protect Our Parks.
We're for it.
We're for the ordinance.
We're for the ordinance.
And I think you've made that pretty clear.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you both for being
Thank
here.
You.
Coming up, we will talk about trends. What is a trend? Who are the trendsetters? And who determines what is trending? That's coming up on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.